We're going to have a time of prayer. You may be seated. And our gracious Father, this morning we sing with those angels on high, Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to humans of all races and nations. And Father, in this day, more than any time that I can remember, we truly need the peace of the Christ child to invade our world. We come before you, Father, humbly as your people this morning, not only to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father, but to seek you, to find you, and to know, Father, that you are here with us even in this morning to worship you. Father, I thank you, God, for your people. I thank you, God, for the word. Mostly we thank you, Father, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who we celebrate every Sunday, but especially this Sunday and this week. As our eyes and our minds and our hearts turn towards the celebration of your birth, Jesus, I pray, God, that you would do a new work in our hearts, that you would continue to prune back the things in our hearts that are not pleasing to you, and that you would continue to mold us and make us completely and fully devoted followers of you. Father, in this day, we know that more than ever before, we truly need to be witnesses to the truth of your word, to the truth of your son, and to the truth of the kingdom of God. And Father, you have made every one of us here in this sanctuary, and those of us on the sanctuary who are electronically online, ambassadors, messengers, Father, for the good news. And I pray that this week, Father, as we celebrate Jesus, that we would be able to share that with somebody who doesn't know, somebody who doesn't understand the meaning of the Christmas holiday, Father. We pray that all the glitz and the glitter and the Santa Claus stuff be laid aside, that the truth of the gospel might go forward, and that people might recognize Jesus is truly the reason we celebrate. Father, I know amongst us there are people who have been sick and laid aside, and with this COVID thing, I know that many families are going to be separated. We're used to having big gatherings and celebrating together, yet this year is a different kind of year. But in spite of that, God, we know that we can still celebrate because we celebrate you. While we enjoy, Father, great feasts of food and the fellowship of our families and our children and our grandchildren, nothing is more important, Father, than celebrating the fact that you came into the world. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that you would help each one of us to remember the true reason, that you would help each one of us, Father, to truly be a witness to the story of the Christ child, being beyond the Christ child, the child who grew up to become a man, who became the greatest teacher in all of Israel, the Messiah, who came and bore the sins of humankind, Father, and suffered and bled and died on the cross, and has been victoriously resurrected over sin, over hell, over death, the grave. Father, that's why Jesus came in the first place. So, Father, this morning, we just place the balance of this service in your hands. I pray for Jean, who comes in just a minute, Father, to break open the bread of life. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts that are obedient, and I pray that you would hide Jean behind the cross this morning. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this incredible gift that you have given us, this gift of prayer. And we pray this all in the mighty name of our soon-coming Savior, the Lord Jesus, and God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. Welcome to the last Sunday of Advent, and also the last Sunday before Christmas. Now, if you noticed this morning when Josh and Colby went up to do our Advent reading, that Josh actually lit not only the four Advent candles, but Josh lit also the center candle. And the reason for that is simple, that we will not see each other again before Christmas, most likely. So today, instead of preaching a sermon on the fourth topic of Advent, which of course is love, I'm going to preach what I would call a traditional Christmas Eve service, or a Christmas service. And that center candle we call the Christ candle. And normally that would be lit on Christmas Eve. Or if we had a service Christmas Day, it'd be lit on Christmas Day. But life is different in 2020. So we lit the candle this week. I mean, let's face it, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, isn't it? It's a time that most of us in this room, most of you online, look forward to. And we look forward to, I hope, with what we talked about last week, which is joy. With joy in our hearts, eagerly anticipating what is about to happen. However, in my opinion, I have some bad news for you this morning that a couple of decades ago, roughly a couple decades ago, something terrible happened. And that is, I believe somebody stole Christmas. Someone stole Christmas. And not only did they steal Christmas, they actually have replaced it with something awful. They replaced Christmas with shopping. With shopping. This morning, I want to talk about the real meaning of Christmas. And the text I'm going to use is found in Matthew chapter 2. So if you're home and you have your Bible handy, grab your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 2. If you're here in the sanctuary, if you want to follow along, grab the Bible in the chair in front of you. I'll be in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, a text that is very familiar to almost all of you watching online and all of you in this room. And it reads as follows. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He then sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So here we have it, the first Christmas morning, and we have the tradition started of giving gifts. Right? You see that in the story, right? It said, coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. So on Christmas morning, Christmas day one, we begin and we have gift giving. Now the truth is, giving gifts to others can be a wonderful way to show our love to them and our appreciation for them. But if we are not careful, we end up where America is today and how America celebrates Christmas today. And it seems to be all about giving and very little about the birth of Jesus Christ. I think we need to start taking heed of what Joshua said back in Joshua 24. And Joshua said this. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua didn't say anything about shopping or about gifts. He was saying that he and his entire house would serve the Lord, and what they wanted was God's presence among them. Talking about gift giving, I heard a story about a married couple who didn't work very hard in their marriage about trying to get along with each other. And one Christmas, the wife gave the husband a burial plot for Christmas. Now, the husband was a little stunned, but he didn't say anything except thank you. However, the next Christmas came, and she gave him nothing at all. And this time, this was more than the husband could take. He was disappointed, he was upset and hurt, and he asked his wife about it. And his wife looked him straight in the eye and said, "Why should I get you anything? You didn't use the gift I got you last year." The fact is, most of us like getting gifts, don't we? Most of us like getting gifts. And it's because of this desire to please others through gifts that Christmas seems to have turned into one giant selling spree. Of course, parents love their children. They love their children. What parent doesn't want to give gifts to their children? However, many, many parents here in America can't afford to pay cash for those presents for their children, so they simply charge it. What they don't realize is that it hurts their family because they may be paying for those presents literally for years in the future. Let me ask you a question. What do you think pleased the Lord most? Do you think it pleased them most that the wise men brought him gifts or that the wise men came to worship him? Which one do you think pleased the Lord the most? I think it's an easy question to answer. And so please don't leave here saying, "My pastor doesn't think we should give gifts to each other." That's not what I'm saying. In fact, I think giving gifts to each other is good. I actually think giving gifts to each other can reveal the Christian heart in us. So there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But I also think that as we do buy for others, that we should use common sense and that we should not lose the focus of the real meaning of Christmas and what it means to us as individuals. I'm guessing if you went to all the men and women who are in our military who are overseas this Christmas and you asked them, "What do you want for Christmas?" How many of them do you think would give you a list of Christmas presents? Maybe none. You know what they would say? We all know, right. You know what I want for Christmas? I want to be home with my parents, my husband, my wife, my children, etc. Well, let's not look at it from an adult perspective. Maybe children are different. Let's look at all of the children that live in orphanages or have been abandoned. If you would ask them what they want for Christmas, what do you think they would say? Would it be a bunch of presents? Or would they simply want a family who loves them? We know the answer. It would be a family who loves them. Friends, your presence is the best possible gift you could ever get for someone whom you love. And when I mean presence, listen, I know we are living in COVID. And I know this Christmas will look different than last Christmas for virtually all of us. I understand that. Okay, when I mean your presence, it doesn't have to be in the same room with them. It could be on a phone call with them, praying for them, communicating through internet, dropping off cards and letters, or maybe, when it's possible, in the same room as well. What I want to do this morning is I want to give you a few suggestions that you can do for your loved ones this Christmas. Christmas, you still have time to do all these. It's 5 days away. So giving you this message now, as opposed to Christmas Eve, it gives you time to fulfill what I'm going to challenge you to fulfill this morning. All right, the first one is this. These are so simple. You'll get no epiphany moments from me this morning. The first one is share the Lord with them. Share the Lord with them. I heard the story of a little girl who came home from Sunday school one day, and she was so excited. She comes in the house and runs up to her mother and says, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, I memorized a Bible verse this morning." And Mom was so proud of her and says, "Really, honey? Well, what did you memorize?" She goes, "I think it's called John 3:1-6. And she goes, "Well, what does it say?" And the girl says, "Let me tell you, Mommy, it says, 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.'" When Jesus looks down at America at Christmas time, I wonder if he sometimes feels completely forgotten. We certainly have all the trappings of celebration here in America, the trees, the lights, the gifts, and the songs. But I have to ask, where's Jesus? This is the celebration of his birth, isn't it? We should be focused on Jesus, not on us, not on our presence. We are supposed to be joyously celebrating the presence of Jesus, not the presence under our tree. Do you know in 2017, the average American spent $2,300 on Christmas? And that between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we'll call it Black Friday and Christmas, that Americans charge over $150 billion on their credit cards. I'm going to give you a number here that's going to be hard to conceptualize, but I'll try to put it in context for you. Do you know Walmart on last, not this Black Friday, last year's Black Friday, Walmart, one day, the day after Thanksgiving, their sales were $183 billion in gross sales. Let me put that in perspective. That is more than the gross national product of 101 countries. That means there's 101 countries all year produce less than Walmart did in one day of sales, Black Friday. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that exalt the Son of God or our commercial society? For many years, we no longer have Christmas break for our children. We have winter break, right? We don't call it Christmas break anymore. When I grew up, we had Christmas break, okay? Now we have winter break. Nativity scenes have been all but banned from government properties. You may see one occasionally here and there. Basically, you used to see them at every city hall, a post office would have an nativity scene out front. You don't see that anymore because they're afraid someone's going to sue them. They're going to get someone upset. The post office has an official statement. It says this: if Christmas offends someone, it should say anyone, there will not be any celebration of Christmas at the post office. They sell a nativity stamp at the post office. Maybe you didn't know this. They sell it. But if you go in and ask for the nativity stamp, they'll say, we don't have one. Because you have to only call it the religious stamp. It's not allowed. They can't call it the Christ stamp, the nativity stamp. They're only allowed to call it the religious stamp. I want to tell you a story. It's totally true, but it's going to sound ridiculous to you. But it's totally true. Most of you remember we had a church in Peabody a number of years ago. And most of you remember we had a problem with the city throwing us out, had to go to federal court, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to talk about that. But I do want to talk about something that happened during the time we were there. During the time we were there, Peabody City Hall on the front lawn would have a nativity scene, a good-sized one. And there was a lot of controversy in the city about it, and the Salem News was doing an article on all the controversy. So they went to the mayor of Peabody, and they interviewed the mayor of Peabody and said, hey, what's all the concern? What's your opinion about this nativity scene on, you know, City Hall? Everyone upset about it? Let me read for you what he said. Quote, I don't know what all the fuss is. Christmas is not a religious holiday after all. That's the mayor of Peabody. Christmas is not a religious holiday after all. Now, before you think he's crazy, he didn't know. Do you know that 67% of Americans have no idea it's the birth of Jesus we celebrate? 67%, more than 2 out of 3. They think it's about Santa Claus giving presents. They have no idea that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. No idea. Friends, 30 years ago, it wasn't like that. Everyone knew 30 years ago what Christmas was about. Now, 2/3 of our country has no clue. The mayor of Peabody, I don't know what all the fuss is. Christmas is not a religious holiday after all. I can imagine when he went to work the next day, this is the front page of the Salem News. I imagine when he went to work the next day, he got some grief from some of his employees. Like, what is wrong with you, Mr. Mayor? Don't you know what Christmas is about? And he would have said, no. What's it about? Jesus, the birth of Jesus? Oh, is that what that is? Friends, I think it's time for you and I to make it very clear that we are Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ, and if that offends someone, we're sorry. Now, we're not sorry, friends. We're not sorry that we worship the Lord, no. And we don't plan on not worshiping the Lord, lest this season make it perfectly clear what is the reason for the season. You all heard that. You know, most of your friends don't know what it is anymore. They have no idea. And that's hard to believe if you've been a Christian for 20 years. Like, how can anyone in America not know what Christmas is? Really? The majority of Americans have no idea. None. The greatest present that you can give your kids, your family, and your friends is to tell them about the Lord. Let me read for you from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells us to share God's word with our friends and family members. And this is what it says. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you are walking along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Friends, let us make sure our friends and family this year know the true meaning of Christmas. Let's celebrate the birth of Jesus this year, not the race for who can buy the most things. Share the word of God with them this Christmas, not the word of the world. 1 John 2:15 says this, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. Share with others about how Jesus literally came to sacrifice his own life for them, whoever you're talking to, because he loves them." Because I think you understand this, the cradle, which we are celebrating on Friday, is without meaning without the cross. Without the cross, Jesus would just have been another baby. That's all. Just another baby. Tell your friends that without Jesus dying on the cross, none of us would have a way to heaven. Tell them God loves them enough that he was willing to sacrifice his own son for them. Now, the Christmas story, as you all know, does not end after the birth, and nor does it end after the cross. If Jesus had stayed dead and buried, he would be no different than all the other religious leaders in the world. The only thing that separates our religion from all the other religions in the entire world is that their leaders are still buried where they died. Yours is not. Our leader rose from the grave, ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father even to this day. That separates you as a Christian from every other religion in the world. Muhammad is dead and buried. Allah, dead. Krishna, dead. Buried. All of them. Not Jesus. No. Second thing you can do for your family this Christmas is give them your love. If you were to ask a young child on Christmas morning, what do you want? You get this brand new electronic game, or you get to spend 1 hour with mommy and daddy playing on the floor. Almost all of them are going to take the electronic game, right? I mean, I think I would have taken the electronic game. But let me ask you this. Which one would really mean something to the child? 20 years later, which one will they remember? They probably won't even remember the game that they received, but I challenge you that they may remember that hour playing on the floor with mommy and daddy until the day they die. I want to read something written by a pastor who wrote this. Quote, "My most memorable Christmas as a small child was in Jonesville, Virginia. We lived in a holla, a house made by my dad's dad in 1896. We were poor, and that Christmas I was sick. I remember lying in my mom and dad's bed next to the fireplace that Christmas morning. My brother and sister were busy playing with their new presents, but I didn't feel like playing at all. My mom and dad came and sat on the edge of the bed. They talked to me, and they took turns hugging me. I really don't know how long that lasted, but it was long enough to stay in my mind for over 50 years without missing one detail. And as I have long since forgotten what I got in the way of gifts that Christmas, but my parents gave me a very wonderful gift that year. They gave me their love. They listened, they acknowledged me, and they loved me. Give your family the wonderful gift of your presence. 1 John 3:18 says this, "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with action." Reminds me of a story about two young children who went to visit their grandma on Christmas morning. And the parents told the two children, "Hey, when you walk in the house, make sure to clean off the bottom of your shoes. Grandma just bought a new rug, and we got to make sure to keep it clean." Well, they arrived at grandma's house, and the kids did exactly as they were told. And soon, grandma gave them each a drink of red Kool-Aid. You know where this story's going already. And as you would guess, the little boy ventured into the living room, and he spilled his red Kool-Aid all over her nice beige carpet. He instantly tried to clean it up. He took his shirt out of his pants and took his shirt tail and tried to clean up that Kool-Aid as best as he could, and it wasn't working at all, and the little boy just stood there sobbing. Well, grandma comes in. She instantly sees the problem. She puts her arm around her grandson, and she says, "It's okay, honey. Grandma will get you another glass of Kool-Aid." That, my friends, is how you love somebody. By really caring what they're going through in the moment. By caring enough about someone to sacrifice something you value for them. And sacrifice it willingly. Exactly like Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. We all see in Scripture what God has to say about love. You heard a little bit of that read today from 1 Corinthians 13. It also says this, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Listen, friends won't come to the Lord by themselves, usually. It seems like everyone I know who became a Christian was brought by somebody, someone who cared about them, someone who loved them. This Christmas, care enough about someone, to my last point, to lead them to Christ. Some of you are probably sitting here saying, "There's no way I can tell someone the Christ story. There's no way that I can lead someone to Christ." Really? Let me say this, that I'm going to tell you something that may surprise you, that just because you're sitting in church on Sunday morning, just because you're watching online Sunday morning, you already have more knowledge than 95% of all Americans regarding Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. Do you know if you took all the churches in America and you filled them to capacity, it would only equal like 4.8% of the population? So if every church in America today was filled to capacity, it's less than 5% of our population. So let me ask you a question. How much do you think the other 95% know about Jesus? How much do you think the other 95% know about the plan of salvation? I would tell you pretty much close to nothing. You have information that your friends don't. Something as basic as, what is Christmas about? When the mayor says it's not a religious holiday. And I'm telling you, almost 70% of Americans have no idea. That is so basic and so simple. Think of the knowledge you have compared to most Americans. You're a Bible scholar compared to most Americans. You may not think that you are, but you are. You know what Christmas is about. You are brilliant compared to a lot of Americans. You know people who are on the verge of having their life crushed under the burdens they can't take care of by themselves. These people need you. They need your information. They need to know about Jesus. And they don't need to know about Jesus from some kind of storybook, but they need to know about Jesus from a person who has really experienced Jesus. They need you. They need you watching online. The only thing you need to decide is whether you care enough about someone to share this information with them. Lead by illustration. Here, parents, if you're a parent, listen up here. I'm going to tell you something that will be unbelievable information to you. Okay? Parents, your children will not do everything you say. I know that's an epiphany moment for many of you who are parents. Right, Chris and Naomi back there? You probably never heard that before. File it away. Your children will not do everything that you say. But do you know what's true? This is a proven fact. This is not a Pastor Gene fact. This is a psychology fact. That your children will eventually do many of the things you do. They may not listen to what you say, but they will eventually do many of the things that you do. And they may not stop following your example until they're 18 or 28 or 30. But all of a sudden, they start acting like you. The old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That old saying, there's some wisdom in that. A lot of wisdom in that. So dads, I'm talking to dads particularly here, dads online. You say, you know, I don't know if I want to go to church on Sunday morning and sit there. Dads and moms, your children need to see you there. Your children need to see you. You don't tell your children to go to church. You go to church with them. Mom and dad, when you pray, do you pray where your family can see you? You should. At least at times you should. Your children need to see you praying. Lead by example. By example. Now, it may be worthwhile to tell your family and friends that they need to go to church. Just that simple. That's not a hard statement. You may be surprised 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, after you tell them this, where they find themselves. But you need to say it with conviction. You need to say it with intercession. An intercession, if you don't know what that word means, intercession is basically praying to the Lord for others. It means you are bringing a friend or a family member to the Lord and you're praying for their situation, for what's going on in their life. When's the last time you brought an individual family member, a friend, before the Lord and asked God to help them in a specific area? When's the last time you had a friend at work, maybe, that you knew was going through something that you actually knelt down, sat down, stood up, I don't care what your posture was, and you actually brought him before the Lord by name and prayed for them? You know, during the Depression, there was a family that had one child. And this one child asked the father a week or two before Christmas and said, "Dad, am I going to get any presents for Christmas?" And the father had to explain to his son that, "No, son, you're going to get no presents at all." But the father said, "You know, Mom and I have talked about it. Instead of buying presents for each other, what we're going to do this year is we're going to draw pictures for each other of the presents that we would give each other if we could." So it was a busy week. They were all drawing pictures. On Christmas morning, they assembled by their Christmas tree, which was a branch that he had taken out of the woods and brought into the house. That was their Christmas tree, I guess. And the mother started by giving the father a picture of a shiny, new, red speedboat. And the father gave the mother a picture of a brand new diamond necklace. And then the mom and dad gave their son pictures of new wagons and tricycles. When it came to the boy's turn to give, he simply gave the parents a drawing that said us, U.S. And in the picture he had drawn, he had the three of them in a group hug. I'm guessing that's probably one of the most special Christmases that family ever experienced. The truth is, Christmas can be a hard time for some people to get through. There are many demands on us, including our finances and our time. So this year, let's keep the true reason for the season. Let us shop, yes. Let us give gifts, of course. But let us do so without taking our focus away from Jesus Christ. So let me ask you one question. How can you share the Lord with someone if you're not right with the Lord yourself? You know, the old saying is true that you can't give away what you do not possess. All right? It's true. You can't give away the Lord to someone if you do not possess the Lord yourself. It's a great time of year for renewal. I mean, you know, we're a week or so away from resolutions, if you're into the kind of New Year resolution thing. It's a great time of year where there's a spiritual kind of, we're on spiritual high alert during the Christmas and Easter seasons. So it's a great time of year to take some evaluation of yourself and find out, are you in a position that you are able to give the Lord to someone else? And if you're not, frankly, my friend, it's not that hard to take care of. It's not that hard. If you've been a Christian, you kind of have slacked off in the last 6 months or so, it's not that hard to renew your relationship with God. And God is always willing to give you a big hug and welcome you back. I read this story about a family that was vacationing on a summer lake, and Dad had been putting around what was an old boathouse, I guess. He had two sons. He had a 12-year-old and a 3-year-old, and they were down playing by the dock, maybe something like the picture you see there. Now, the 12-year-old was supposed to be watching his 3-year-old brother. However, as 12-year-olds do, he got distracted, and 3-year-old little Billy thought it would be a good time to check out the fishing boat that was tied at the end of the dock. So he went to the dock, put one foot on the boat and the other foot on the dock. Well, you know what happened, of course. He lost his balance, fell into the water, which is about 7 feet deep. And at the splash, his brother yelled out a horrific scream, to which the 12-year-old instantly, in a flash, looked and knew that his younger brother was in trouble. Well, Dad heard the scream. Dad came running from the boathouse, jumped into the water, swam down. He couldn't see anything. It was too murky. He couldn't see. He was feeling around, couldn't see anything. He came up for air. Dad went back down another time, kind of panicked, and he began to feel at the bottom and all around the edges. He still couldn't feel anything. Finally, on his way up, he felt young Billy's arms that were locked in a death grip on one of the posts of the dock, about 5 feet underwater. And Dad had to literally pry the boy's fingers loose from that post. And when the adrenaline stopped and the nerves had calmed down a little bit, the father asked his son, "What in the world were you doing down there hanging on to that post so far into the water?" And little Billy's answer was classic, laced with only the wisdom that a 3-year-old young boy could give. And he said, "Well, Dad, I was just waiting for you. Just waiting for you." Friends, isn't that what we all are doing this Christmas week, really? We're waiting for Jesus. Today we celebrate what happened over 2,000 years ago. The God of the universe left his glory, left the splendor of heaven, a place where there was no pain, no sickness, no accidents, no death, no one got hurt. And in a sense, Jesus plunged into this murky world on a rescue mission that was born out of love. Someone in America has stolen Christmas, friends. Hopefully not from you and your family. Hopefully that's not the case for you. But our society has had Christmas stolen. It's no longer about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's about giving each other presents, going into debt for the next 3 or 4 years, feeling mandated to spend money you don't have. That's where our culture really has promoted. as a Christian, if you are watching online, you're a Christian, or you're seated here in the sanctuary as a Christian, keep the focus in your home on why we have Christmas in the first place, which is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for this reminder about the meaning of Christmas. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you took to come and walk among us, to be an example for us, to teach us, and then ultimately to go to a cross for us, to give us the possibility of having our sins removed and entering to a relationship with you. I pray, God, for those who are watching online, for those who are here in the sanctuary, God, this Christmas will be one that is Jesus-focused. We will thank you, God, for the gifts. We thank you for the opportunity to give gifts, to show our love and appreciation. But during those times of gift-giving and gift-exchanging, God, I pray that we would have conversations about Jesus, about why we are doing what we're doing. What is the reason for this season? So thank you, God, for today's reminder. We give you ourselves, God. We give you our families. We give you especially those in our families who don't know you as Lord and Savior. And we ask, God, for an opportunity this week to share with them why we have Christmas. And then we leave them to you, God, in the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would draw them to yourself, that they will bend a knee and confess you as Lord and Savior. So thank you, God, for this time today. We give the rest of the service and the rest of this week to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. In the back of the chairs, you'll see a welcome form and the prayer request form, and you can fill them out and give them to one of the pastors if you'd like. And as we've been doing, for the offering, we'll be coming down the center aisle, and we'll place our offering in either one of those two baskets. And this is the last Sunday of Advent. And we will be celebrating Christmas and Jesus' birth this coming Friday. And as Pastor Gene talked about in his sermon today, when we think about Christmas, one of the things that comes to mind is the giving of gifts to family members and loved ones. Jesus coming to earth to be with us and to be an example for us and to eventually suffer greatly and to give his life for us. Well, that's the greatest gift of all. I feel like I should be so thankful for this, but I know that most times I am not thankful enough. And from the famous verse in John 3:16, which Colby read for us this morning during the Advent candle lighting, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Wow, what an amazing gift. So when we do exchange gifts this Christmas, let's try to remember the great gift of Jesus. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your great gift of Jesus. Thank you for all that you provide us with and that all that we have. Please give us thankful hearts. Help us to be truly grateful and thankful for you and how blessed we are because of Jesus. Help us to never take you and your gifts to us and all your blessings for granted. With thankful hearts, please help us to be unselfish and generous. Thank you for this time of giving, and let our gifts, whether they be financial or some other service, be pleasing to you, and help us to love you and to do our part and advance your kingdom. We pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. You may now come up to the altar. Thank you.